Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys, Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. The sky's kind of falling right now. I'm not going to lie, Cass. Last episode before, you know, we took a week or two break, we were previewing the Michigan game. Obviously, we're not going to beat a dead horse. We lost. We all know what happened. But then I will say we beat Duke. So that was a nice little thing we were at. Got to give that to us. But I mean, I guess we should start it off with the real big news is we are officially part of the Silver Bulletin. And that's something to be really excited about.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the opportunity to work with our friends with Silver Bulletin. I'm blessed that they added us. It's really expanding our horizons. The future is going to look bright. Maybe a lot more coverage than just football and basketball. Maybe we throw some wrestling and hockey and some women basketball in there and some baseball, softball, and whatever we can find ourselves into when it comes to this great university of the Ohio State University that, you know, all of us dear and love. And it's been a rough 3 weeks for me and, you know,
for everyone.
Yeah, it has. And not just the loss to Michigan, just fighting a cold and just it seemed like, oh, I'm finally over this cold and boom, something else happens and then boom, something else happens. But I'm finally starting to feel myself. So we're getting another episode up. So I do want to apologize to our fans out there. We've probably desperately been waiting for another episode to drop, but due to the stress of Dan moving and the illness that I've been going through for the last 3 weeks, we're finally getting an episode running.
Yeah, and you know, you guys are probably lucky too because we're not going to be recapping the Michigan game because it is what it is. I don't think anyone else wants to talk about it. I will say that we are a basketball school now, apparently, which is a nice thing.
Yeah, very, very nice thing.
It's a nice little surprise. I was not expecting that at all. I honestly think it really turned a corner at the game when we went to me and you went to the Duke game.
Yeah.
And I was telling you my whole strategy this season was because I'm so sick of this team, you know, really like they peak in like early December and then they fall off. I went with my strategy where I'm just going to be a hater. I'm just going to hate on them. I'm not going to believe in them. And I still don't believe in them. I mean, that's my strategy. I'm just going to just hate on them and just prove me wrong. I want them to prove me wrong because I like they're peaking right now in December. I don't know if we're going to lose six straight like we always do in January. I don't know. I want to say no because we beat Duke and that was the most incredible game. I mean, bro, how many times did we look at each other and like, all right, if Duke makes this – And we miss this, and they make another one. We go down by like 15 points. We're gonna leave. We said that at least 30 times.
I mean, I know for sure we said it three times. I know coming out of the second half, we said, okay, these first 5 minutes are pitiful. I mean, not pitiful, but are very. We're like the first 5 minutes of that game. We're like, okay, these are crucial. That's the word. I'm sorry, folks. Crucial, and it wasn't the fact that like. They didn't come out playing very well, but they were hustling and they like they weren't shooting the ball well coming out of that first 5 minutes, but they were hustling and the effort was there. So we look at Dan and say, okay, let's give it another 3 minutes. And all of a sudden the Buckeyes start making some shots. The defense was outstanding. Like it's, you know, it started being, and then it was like 3 minutes to go to the game. It's been stagnant. Both teams been trading misses. And I look at Dan, we're coming out of a media timeout, and I was like, okay, if Duke goes down and scores and we don't answer, we're gone. Like, we're out.
It was also like 11:45 on a Tuesday because that 9:30 tip.
Yeah, and I had to be at work at 5 a.m., which, by the way, I did show up to work at 5 a.m. that day instead of 7, and I surprised a bunch of my coworkers. And next thing you know, after I said that, it's a three-point ball game, and I'm like, wow. And then I finally look at Dan, and excuse my language, but these were the exact words I looked at Dan and I said, we're going to fucking do this.
Yeah. Like, when Cedric Russell hit that three, that was when I knew we were going to do this.
I mean, we were shooting 32% from the free throw line all up until the 5 minutes of the game. And then all of a sudden we started making our free throws.
I think what too with that game, the biggest thing too was when I think it was their center, Duke's center, number 15. When he got his fourth foul, he kind of really began to back off defensively because he didn't want to foul out. And that's when Zed Key started just going to town and just making layup after layup down in the post.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was outstanding. We loved it. Got to watch the fans rush the court. And then as soon as we rushed the court saying Carmen, Ohio, we boarded out of there thinking, oh, okay, traffic might not be bad. I might get back to my end. It might get to my in-laws at 12:30. Boom. I didn't get there until 1 a.m. Because getting out of St. John Arena was a pain in the butt.
You know what, though? I sat in my car, and that was a victory, though. I will never forget because it was a good – because I wasn't going to go to bed after that. I had work at like 9:30 in the morning. I wasn't going to go to bed after that. I was sitting in my car listening to a post game, just legitimately laughing that we just beat Coach K, the number one team. And that's something – I'm just so glad I got to experience that with you, especially after a few days prior, that yep. torturous Saturday up north. But, I mean, it is what it is.
And then we go on the road to Happy Valley, and we struggle in the first half, and we just put it on in the second half. And we get a win, big win in Happy Valley, and then we get a win, again, starting off slow. We get a win against Townsend. And then
they were shooting really good from three, too, yeah. Towson. They were pesky.
Yeah, they were pesky. And then I go Saturday, I take my nephew to his very first Ohio State game, and they play Wisconsin. And that was a fun atmosphere. It was half the crowd. I was glad to see the students actually showed up. It literally looked like it was students, barely anybody in the Huntington Club, and then barely anybody in the Terrence level, which is sad. Yeah. I know the pep band wasn't there. It was the alumni band. And like my wife looked at it and said, why'd they have an alumni band during for a Big Ten top 25 matchup? And it was awful. Like the snare drums need a tune. And we're like, oh, okay, is this how this game's going to be? Like untuned basketball game. And it was a great game. You know, Wisconsin and Ohio State just kept trading blows. And then, boy, EJ Liddell is the best player in the Big Ten, if not in the country. The dude just took over a game. And then Zed Key is the crowd favorite, man. They got the 1999 Raise the Roof, like, dance going on now. If you watch the student section, and he's got the gun. Zed Key is the fan favorite. I still want to know why Justin Arns is the very last guy to be announced on the starting five. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. The dude makes one or two threes a game. And when I looked at the guy next to me, and he said, is he the most overvalued player in Buckeye basketball history? I was like, absolutely. No. Apparently you never watched Amir Williams.
No. But Amir Williams is – there's a difference because Amir Williams, he wasn't overvalued. He was overhyped, and he just stunk. I think Arns is overvalued because he's serviceable. He's good, but he's not – they like every time you watch a big game, like with like, you know, like ESPN announcers are like, oh, this kid Arns, he's a sharpshooter. He can't leave him open, and it's like, well – I from what I see, a lot of times they do leave him open and he misses it, but he'll make
and he can't guard no one.
He'll make the hard one and then he'll miss the wide open one. He's a mystery. I mean, I like him, but yeah,
he reminds me of Mark Loving.
That's a good comparison, like a harder working Mark Loving.
Yeah, I will give you that.
A less lazy Mark Loving.
I mean, the Buckeyes, they get a week off before they play Kentucky. And I like where this Buckeye basketball team is trending. Again, it is December. it's their peak time. I'm with Dan. I don't have the confidence. Start winning some basketball games in January, and then we'll talk.
I've seen the song and dance before. I will say the Duke win.
Reminds you of the Kentucky win. Different.
Yeah.
It reminds you of the Kentucky win a couple years ago. That's what it really does. But unfortunately for us, it was at the shot, which we're still undefeated at the shot this year.
I mean, we're 8-2 with a loss to Xavier on the road. And it was a good game. I mean, we played them tough, but they pulled away at the end. And they wanted that one. I'm not going to lie. They're like, that student section, they wanted that one. Xavier had that one marked. That was a big game.
And then we lost on a last second shot to Florida. I mean,
which was a game too, where the refs called. I think the foul differential was absurd, and we had over 20 turnovers. And we lost on a last second buzzer beater.
And I like the way this basketball team just fights and grits. I mean, they're not going to blow nobody out. They're not a team that's going to blow anybody out. But they're going to out hustle you. Yeah, but they're going to out hustle you on defense. Like, that's just the way they are. And you know, again, if they come out and beat Kentucky this week, great. That's awesome. But win some games in January.
I will say, too, I absolutely love how Kyle Young's been playing. I think he has really transformed his game this year. He
broke his own record. He had 14 rebounds Saturday.
Yeah, no. I mean, I just love how he has developed into like a 3-point shooter too. Now I don't want him shooting threes like it's his only thing he can do, because we need him down in the paint. But if they leave him open, I absolutely feel comfortable with him taking an open three now. So it's And I think honestly, the lineup where if you put maybe like Young, Liddell, Zed Key in, like the big, basically, I mean, it's like the three guys that can are basically post players, but can shoot.
I love this lineup out of the Buckeyes. And I know people are just like, well, why is he in there? Well, I like Cedric Russell. I like Cedric Russell, Justin Arns, EJ Liddell, Zed Key, and Kyle Young on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
But I also love Jamari Wheeler, Cedric Russell, EJ Liddell, Zed Key, and Kyle Young.
Yeah, I mean, what's really nice is there's a lot of guys – we're really deep.
I love Mylakel Brennan. He's young. He's still got to develop, and he's going to be a great player. I think he has potential. If he stays all four seasons, he's got to be potential to be that Jimmy Jackson, and that's why he wears number 22. I love the potential in that kid.
I love that we're just so deep, Cass, and that, you know, I think in years past, a guy like Malachi Branham, he would have been forced to do a lot more early. He would probably be averaging probably somewhere between 10 and 13 points a game right now in earlier years. But I think he would hit a wall because he would be being asked to do too much. Right now, his role, I think, is perfect. You know, he gets good looks, plays defense, but I don't think we're overusing him. I would like to see us use Cedric Russell a lot more. I mean, the dude's only playing 9 minutes a game, which is not enough, in my opinion. I think he should be a little more, because I mean he is our best shooter, our best scorer, I think, naturally, even though it doesn't say it is on the stat sheet because he's only averaging 3 points a game. I think he really is our most natural scorer.
Yeah, he is, and it is whatever. So
I mean 8-2, a number one win. I mean I'm happy, but I'm ready to get hurt again. Like, as I've tweeted multiple times, when I die, Ohio State basketball team is going to be my pallbearers, because I want them to let me down one more time, because
Mylakel Brennan Jr. holding you when he's a freshman and you die. And
No. Malachi's all right. No, it's going to be, I want Luther Muhammad. I want Amir Williams. How many are pallbearers? Six or four?
It depends how big you are.
I'll do four. I want Amir Williams, Luther Muhammad. Give me.
You know how old they would be? They're your age.
Give me who was it?
Here, I'll give you
CJ Jackson.
I love CJ Jackson.
Yeah, but he's putting me down.
Here's my six pallbearers because I'm a bigger guy. And it would have to be their children because they're about our age, right?
Okay.
Amir Williams, LaQuinton Ross, Mark Loving.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Matt Terwilliger. Go look him up, by the way. From the NIT championship. Let's see here. Costa Kufas.
Costa Kufas.
He was on the NIT team, too. I mean, and I've got to go with, you know what? I'm going to have 12. I've got to go with the Thad Crappy four.
Oh, yeah. Jaquan Lyle.
Gidden.
Mickey Mitchell. AJ Harris.
Austin Grandstaff. I have a lot of Paul Bears if I do that. I am a bigger guy. I'm a big cat. So, I mean.
That class will just live in infamy. It's just looking back on that is just the funniest thing. I you know what, too? I think I was a sophomore or junior in college at the time. I convinced myself that they were good. That was a great class, too.
And you know what, too? You know who will give the eulogy? Joe Bowserman.
Joe Bowserman. I mean, I would maybe get for me like Tim Beck or like Ed Warner to do the eulogy.
Dude, Ed Warner should give Zach Smith's eulogy.
That, my friend, is a great segue because today our friend Zach Smith.
Well, it happened last night. Let's just start with last night.
Yeah, our friend Zach Smith, who I love his show, great guy. I like Zach. I truly do.
I did too.
He got into it with an infamous skunk weasel, Desmond Howard, which brings us to the important part of the show, the Heisman ceremony. Because this is the meat and potatoes of this show. We're going to talk about this for probably 30 minutes. So. Zach Smith basically said some stuff on Twitter, but you can go see it. Just like Desmond Howard. In short terms, Desmond Howard is a moron, which I agree with.
In layman terms,
Desmond Howard.
Not layman terms, in PG terms.
In PG-13 terms, Desmond Howard is a moron and he's terrible at his job, which, you know what? I agree with. I've agreed with this even before the season, even before the Oregon game when he was saying – you know, he was talking smack in the, I think like week zero, Desmond Howard. I'm like, all right, this guy's a buffoon. We know this though, but the Heisman ceremony, we all know what happened there. Aiden Hutchinson is up. They're talking to him. Aiden Hutchinson's basically, we got nothing wrong with Aiden.
Not with his comments.
Yeah. Not with his comments. I mean,
he's still 1-2 against the Buckeyes. Yeah. So
yeah, it's,
and he took J.K. Dobbins' shoe.
I think he's 1-3, actually.
He's 1-2.
Is he? No, he's 1-3 because he's a senior. Oh, okay. 1-3. Yeah. What a loser.
No, but he's 1-2 because they ducked us last year.
Oh. You are right, my friend. You are right. That's always going to mess up my math fact. So he's basically up there just saying, oh, yeah, it was great to beat Ohio State. The goal was to come back and beat them.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine.
You're entitled to that, you know. Good job. And then, you know, Kenny Pickett is standing in between Hutchinson and Stroud.
Well, it's because Hutchinson pointed at Stroud and laughed. And Stroud did have a smile on his face because they became friends. Like, as they all do, they became friends.
Which is
like,
fair.
This is fair.
And then Tebow makes the comment, oh, Kenny Pickett, good thing you're in between them right now because it's obviously a rivalry. Hutchinson was sacked Stroud a couple times, and it's all fun and games. Desmond Howard then goes, basically says, oh, yeah, well, you know, Kenny Pickett's doing a better job than Stroud's offensive line, which was a low blow and uncalled for. And you can even see on the Heisman winner's face, Bryce Young, it made him look uncomfortable. Stroud looked annoyed, and it was just
the only one laughing was Kenny Pickett, because even Hutchinson looked like, okay, why the hell did you just say that?
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Pickett, I have no problem with him laughing. I think Kenny seems like a fun guy. I mean, he did the fake slide. Seems like a cool guy. I got no problem with him laughing. Like,
he has no dog in the fight.
No, like, I mean, yeah, I would laugh if, like, that's like an Ohio State fan standing in between, like an Ohio State player standing in between, like, an Auburn and Alabama player, and it's like, there's something crazy that happened in the Iron Bowl. No problem there. But Desmond Howard, I think he just unleashed a beast, because that clip is going to be in the Woody.
It's got the fire coming out of the beast's mouth now, because earlier in the week, during Stroud's media day, Corum decided, like, when Stroud talked about how multiple players had the flu, that it affected the game with having the flu. And then Stroud going on to saying that he still thinks Ohio State's the best team, which you would want your quarterback to say. And then Corum comes out and mouths off. The week before that, you had Josh Gattis talking about how this Ohio State's not a tough team, they're a finesse team. And then obviously, after the game, you had Harbaugh and his stupid comments, and then all these fans who obviously don't know who haven't won in a while. And good for them; they haven't won in a while, but they haven't. They're acting like the guy. Like I was telling our good buddy AP, who's a Penn State fan, which by the way, he is on Ohio State's side with all this, because he said these Michigan fans are so annoying that they act like they're God's gift to football right now.
They're coming out of the woodwork. When Penn State won the Big Ten and they beat Ohio State, they didn't talk this smack. They had every right to, in my opinion.
Right. And the whole thing about it is, it is a rivalry. I get that. But you disrespected a 19-year-old kid. I don't mind that he made the comments, but you made it on national television at an awards ceremony. If you want to make the comments on Twitter, if you want to make the comments like on college, like on not College Game Day, but College Football Live, go ahead. But the problem is you're now the fact that the way what Desmond Howard and Charles, I used to have all so much respect for Charles Woodson until all the shenanigans. Him singing "Hail to the Victors," waving that M flag. I get it. They beat us for the first time in 10 years. I get it. I would act the same way, but I would also show my professionalism, which them two have not shown the professionalism. Because here's the thing: Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Spielman, and Joey Galloway are all three Ohio State alums. Do you think any of those three would be waving the Ohio State flag, singing "Hang on, Sloopy"?
No, they don't. I mean, they don't even. They don't even pull for us half the time, too, because they're just trying to be professional. Like, Joey Galloway and Kirk, they do their jobs. They just analyze, and they keep their allegiance really out of it for the most part. And I give them credit.
But you can tell also, too, that they root for the Buckeyes, which as they should. But they don't go on saying comments like if – like, I told people this the whole time. If Cade McNamara was sitting on the podium in the same situation as C.J. Stroud was, and that was Joey Galloway making those comments, Michigan fans would be all irate.
And it's – I mean, the Heisman is one of – it's just – it's a sacred ceremony, all right? It's just supposed to be – it's supposed to be a classy night. There's supposed to be decorum. It's – I would equate the Heisman ceremony to almost like a presidential debate or something. Not like a debate, but like it's something of that. Like there needs to be decorum, and there needs to be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Class.
Yeah, class and professionalism.
Professionalism. And what happened at there, it was wrong for Desmond to do that, because it really too – We're here today. We're not talking. The whole media today, it's not just us. Because if you look, turn on ESPN, BTN, go on Twitter. They're not talking about how Bryce Young won the Heisman. No one's talking. And he had a good season.
He deserved it.
He did. No, he did. He did. And I will say too, I knew that was coming. I bet on that in Vegas. I called this from a mile away. I knew, even blackout drunk at 7 a.m. on a bachelor party in Las Vegas on the first day, I knew Bryce Young was going to win the Heisman. And my buddies who all went to OSU, they go, oh, well, I like Stroud's odds. Like, he was like plus 1,200. Bryce Young was only plus 650. I'm like, yeah, but here's the thing. Even if it's close, they're going to screw Stroud over. And I pointed to the Dwayne Haskins and the Justin Fields treatment. Well, look what happened. So I was right. I knew my gut was right.
I don't think Stroud got the full Dwayne Haskins treatment, because they did showcase him a lot, I thought, just going back, like what I've heard about what people have said. But
they didn't even interview Dwayne, which was despicable.
Yes, exactly. But where I see where you're at a point when he did getting the Dwayne Haskins treatment is when he finished fourth, which to me shows you that the sports writers and media don't watch football. They just look at paperwork and stats.
And
all the hype that Aiden Hutchinson get, it would, granted, rightfully so. He's a great player. Do I think he should have been there? No. Do I think he should have been number two? Finished second in the Heisman? No, I think that should have been CJ Stroud. And I am totally biased with that. I totally believe that it should have been Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and Kenneth Walker. That's me.
I just that's don't. Me. Yeah, I think if I was Kenneth voting, Walker got kind of screwed too.
If I was voting, if I was a Heisman vote, it would have been Bryce Young, and I love CJ Stroud. I've defended CJ Stroud. I love the guy. I love his demeanor. I love his. I don't care what the fans say, honestly, and I love that out of him. He's a great leader. He loves his teammates, and they're ready, and he's ready to get back to war, because you know darn well that Ryan Day and CJ Stroud flew back to the Woody, and they're getting to work. I mean, they started practice today for the
Utah
Rose Bowl, but I'm telling you, I would have voted Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and Kenneth Walker third. I mean, that's the way I would have voted. And Matt Corral would have been fourth.
I would have. That's an interesting. I like your order, Cass. I want to preface this with I had Stroud one even after the Michigan game until the drive Bryce Young led.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I did too.
I still legitimately thought in my heart that Stroud had a chance after the Michigan game. Maybe it was just the stages of grief. I don't know, but seeing Alabama laying a goose egg to a 6-loss Auburn team.
For 3.5 quarters.
For 3.5 quarters. And Young was not good that game at all. I mean, I think he threw like two picks. And they
until the final drive.
And then he led a 99-yard drive. So that's where he won the Heisman.
He had a phenomenal game against Georgia.
He did. Yeah. I mean, but I think if he did not win that game against Auburn, I think it would be a little different. I think Stroud might have won it.
I don't think so. I think Aiden Hutchinson would have.
No, I don't think they would not have given it to, which is just ridiculous though, because when you look at Aiden Hutchinson's stats, like one, Will Anderson for Alabama had much better stats.
Let's do that right now. I've got that right up here. Will Anderson had 91 tackles. Aiden Hutchinson had 58. Will Anderson had 52 solo. Aiden Hutchinson had 33. Mm-hmm. Aiden Hutchinson had 15.5 sacks. Right. 15.5 tackles for loss. Will Anderson had 32.5. Aiden Hutchinson had 14 sacks. Will Anderson had 15.5.
I mean, I'll even give you this one. Chase Young, comparing Chase Young and Aiden Hutchinson. And Chase Young, what did he finish? Fourth?
Yes.
He finished fourth in the Heisman.
It was Burrow to and Justin Fields ahead of him.
I will say yes, that is fair. I mean, yeah, but the fact, I mean, Chase Young had a better season. He had 21 tackles for loss, 16.5 sacks, 46 total tackles. Now, mind you, that was in 11 games.
Because he missed Maryland and Rutgers.
that's probably what hurt him because, you know, quote, unquote, yeah. The Heisman's for what, the finest athlete or the finest?
He got suspended for what's legal now.
Yeah, exactly. Ridiculous. So I the way they really propped up Hutchinson is ridiculous to me. And I mean,
great player,
very good player. What's even more ridiculous too is the dude on Georgia, Jordan Davis, I think it is.
Yeah,
I mean his numbers. His number. I mean, literally, I think Tyreek Williams has better numbers than Jordan Davis. And I mean, why is Jordan Davis in the Heisman race? Because Georgia has a good defense, and he's a funny guy. He's a big guy. He has two sacks. Come on.
Yeah, I mean it was a joke. It was frustrating, and our guy CJ Stroud's going to take it personal, and I think it's going to be great. I mean, Desmond Howard mouthed off. All these Michigan people are mouthing off. Let him, because it's just adding more fuel. It really is. Because all that stuff's up at the Woody. I guarantee if we walked into Woody, Tennessee Jeff probably put all those clothes up already because he probably broke in overnight. But I guarantee it. That stuff's all over the Woody. And, you know, I can't wait. I mean, we got to get ready for Utah and the Rose Bowl. And, I mean, we'll find out. We'll find out. Next week, what Olave and Wilson will do, which I think Olave will play just because he gets to go back home. It's going to be great weather, and CJ Stroud can just sling the ball around. And
Why wouldn't Olave play is my question, you know?
And he's only 60 yards away from 1,000. So.
I find it hard that Olave wouldn't play. I could see Garrett Wilson not playing.
Yeah.
And people are making a big deal about that. Oh, what happens if Olave and Wilson don't play? CJ Stroud's not going to have anyone to throw to. One, he has JSN, 1,000-yard receiver.
Great. Jeremy Ruckert.
I was going to say, you don't think Ruckert's going to have a huge game? He's definitely going to play because I'm sure he probably wants one last game where he can really, you know, because he's a guy that's going to need all the targets and all the extra tape just because he really hasn't gotten a ton of looks.
And then Mumford. And all them guys will play because they got embarrassed against Michigan and they're going to want to prove themselves.
We still have Travion Henderson. And then you got the young guys, Harrison Jr., Emeka Ibuka, Fleming. Fleming's really come on lately.
Jaden Ballard.
Yeah.
I mean we're going to be just fine. Defensively, we're going to break all this down next week when we get into the Rose Bowl. But yeah, we'll talk about it. But we got to talk about the new hire.
Yes,
Jim Knowles will become the highest paid coordinator in college football. And people are like, this is how dumb fans can be because when they don't do research, Jim Knowles. It does take a little bit to develop, but now he's coming to a school where the athletes are going to be there. Jim Knowles is going to make $1.9 million as a coordinator for Ohio State, and he'll start January 2nd. And I'm super
recruit. You cannot recruit, though.
Yeah. I'm super excited about this because, one, we get to see Sonny Styles reclassify Wednesday when he signs his letter of intent on the 15th, which, by the way, he's a phenomenal basketball player, too. I got to see him play the other night against Pickering North. Two, he's going to bring the 4-2-5, but he's bringing a stand-up rushman. And who's got the body style for that? No other than Sawyer. Jack Sawyer.
Zach Sawyer.
Zach Sawyer. And I don't think JTT and Zach Sawyer are going to come off the field next year. That's just the way I feel. But it might – like, it's going to spark this defense. This defense is going to have – you know, I'm excited about this hire. The question remains, who's gone? That's the question. And I threw this up on our sports channel for the Silver Bulletin, a picture of Ryan Day, Kerry Combs, and Sonny Styles at Sonny Styles' basketball game. And it was all three of them. And it said Sonny Styles was, I was glad to see Coach Combs and Coach Day there. So that remains the question, and we'll find out. I guarantee you we'll find out sooner or later who is leaving this defensive staff. Is the rumors true about Larry Johnson retiring? Is it Al Washington moving on to go get a coordinator job? Is it Matt Barnes? Is it Kerry Combs? But I don't see, in my opinion, I don't see Kerry Combs out there doing recruiting trips with Ryan Day if he was actually leaving.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awkward. That would definitely be awkward, in my opinion. That would be so awkward. Why would you be with the guy who just fired you out on a recruiting trip? I do think Kerry Combs, he is a great coach. He's just not a play caller, and that's not his fault. I think he's still a big asset to the coaching staff.
Yeah, I do too.
Just reassign him. You don't even have to cut his salary. Like, keep the salary, just change it. I mean, Ohio State has a ton of money. We're fine. We can pay him the same. I have no problem with Coach Combs moving back to the secondary or something like that. I am excited about Jim Knowles though.
I am too.
And people, I think, are really, really kind of overthinking that rush end concept. It's really just a stand up. That's all it is.
Bobby Carter. Go back and watch Bobby Carter.
Yeah.
So it's
basically four defense alignment, and we're fine because we'll have what I'm thinking is we'll definitely have JTT and Ty Leak hand in the dirt. Maybe Zach Harrison returns. I think he should return, in my opinion.
He's going to return.
Should. I mean, why would he go to the draft? His stock's not going to be that great.
No, he's a good rush. And that's the thing a lot of people are talking about is could Mickey Moriarty say, hey, we want to move you inside. Let's gain some weight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's
It could be the opposite of what happened with Sean Wade, honestly, where Sean Wade switched positions and he kind of struggled. I wouldn't be shocked if Zach Harrison switched positions and was actually better hand in the dirt, more interior a little bit. I think he would honestly work with some guards.
With Tyleek Williams and Teron Vincent.
And then Jack Sawyer on the outside. I mean, that defensive line would be absolutely.
And I think Javonte Jean Baptiste would be a good stand up rush end too.
He would be. I could totally see that too. I mean, Javonte Jean Baptiste has flashed, in my opinion, when he gets the chances. The problem is he's just always behind Zach Harrison and Tyreek Smith on that depth chart. Which I hate to say this, but I am so happy Tyreek Smith is finally gone. And it's not
good. Not great.
He's good, not great.
He just never developed.
Well, not even that. I'm not even saying that like he's like the good or bad part. It's just the fact that I'm glad I'll never have to watch another Ohio State game where I watch Tyreek Smith get absolutely held for four quarters straight. Because every game he gets either horse collared or choked out, or they're clearly pulling on the jersey.
If you have to fix your jersey and nobody's calling, there's a problem.
Yeah, and I'm just glad I'll never have to watch that happen again, because Tyreek Smith, he will go down in infamy at Ohio State as the man who just got held 24-7. And I think he's going to have a really good NFL career, because they will call that in the NFL. For some reason, though, the Big Ten refs don't call that. And I'm glad that's gone.
Yeah, me too.
Love you, Tyreek. It's nothing personal against you. I can't watch that anymore. And it's not even his fault.
No. I'm excited. I'm excited to break down this Rose Bowl. We're playing a team who I highly respect. I highly respect Kyle Whittingham. Who knows? Urban Meyer might get fired from Jacksonville with all the turmoil that's going on right now with Jacksonville. And we could have the Urban Meyer Bowl out in Rose Bowl.
It should. You know what I mean? I was just thinking the same thing. Like, have Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer toss the coin if he gets fired.
That's what I was saying. Urban Meyer would have to do the coin flip. It's the place where he finished college football and then finished coaching college football, and then his two teams, former teams, are playing. He has to be there. Honestly, he should do the Brady Quinn, or what was it, the AJ Hawk Brady Quinn jersey. Just have the half and half.
The half windbreaker, the solid windbreaker with Ohio State logo on one side, the Utah logo on the other.
I love it. Yeah, that'd be hilarious. Come on. And it could work, too, because they're, like, the same colors.
And Shelly Meyer could have the Ohio State tattoo on one side, the Utah sticker on the other.
Come on, let's make it happen. That would be so funny.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to break this game down. I think the Rose Bowl is a great consolation prize for a young football team that's just going to get better. And
oh, if we win the Rose Bowl, I'll be psyched. Like,
I can't break. Also, we have another game to break down next week, and that's the Kentucky game, too. So, yeah. Two huge games we get to break down. Basketball-wise, Kentucky, we'll talk about that a little bit, and then we get on to
Touch before we wrap
before
up,
we leave,
transfer portal.
Because breaking news while we're on here, by the way.
What happened?
Quinn Ewers committed to Texas. And the tweet says according to our buddy Blake Biscardi, is that how you say his name?
Well, yeah, Blake Biscardi from the Silver Bulletin. Check him out.
Carson McCoy.
Our boy Chugs
came out. Where did it go? Oh, here it is. It was Gabe. Wow, we just threw everybody's name out. We might as well say Dave too. Dave, thank you. You know, we said everybody's name. Gabe Wilcox tweeted out Quinner's tweet. It said, "Hey Alexa, take me to Texas by George Strait. Hook 'em." And our Gabe also said, "I hope they continue to be trash." Chug says, "As expected," and yeah, it was expected. People thinking he was going to go to Texas Tech and Texas A&M. We all knew he was going to go to Austin. What Quinn Ewers did to Ohio State was Bush League. He came in, got his mail, got a truck. I love the fact that Rick Reichert trolled him. that was one of the best news over the weekend during this Quinn Ewers situation. It was Rick Reichert said, "Thank you for my truck back." Like, but I do hope him the best. He was a Buckeye. But what he did to us, you know, we didn't know the guy.
I'm sorry. I do not wish him the best at all. And you're taking the high road, Cass. I am generally salty about this. And it's just the way it went about. Because the kid shows up 2 weeks before camp. 2 weeks before camp. At least Tate Martell learned the playbook, man. At least Martell learned the playbook and put in an effort.
By the way, I blame the team up north loss on Tate Martell for showing up to the game. But I was trying to take the high road, but I was just kidding. I hope the dude fails at Texas. I hope they go 5-7 every year.
No, like the people are out here. Oh, he's just a kid. He's just a kid. The dude has more money than me. He's a millionaire he had a truck. Like, no.
He's got a truck.
He is not a kid. He is a man.
He had his daddy meet with the coaching staff at Ohio State to ask him if he's going to be the starting quarterback next year. And the coaching staff said no. Yeah. So all of a sudden, this dude spends 4 months at Ohio State and transfers. Bye, Felicia.
Ridiculous. The kid, like, I know.
Take your achy, breaky heart, Baylor Ray Cyrus out of here.
That
we don't want that.
He literally just used Ohio State for NIL money and development. That's it. He literally
– He didn't really develop, did he?
I'm sure Ryan Day developed him. I'm sure he learned a ton with Ryan Day. I'm not going to lie.
I'm sure too.
But it's just the writing was on the wall from the beginning, and we all kind of denied it. We're like, oh, no, he's going to be – Quinn's our
– I guarantee you his strength and conditioning coach ain't going to be like Mickey Marotti, though.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how he did this. Now, if it was like a regular, you know, 4 or 5 star, like if Kyle McCord did this, let's say, I would have absolutely different feelings. Or like Jack, I wish him nothing but the best.
Yes.
But this you cannot tell me was a coordinated, clear use of Ohio State's facilities and money. And he used the community.
He's a clown.
It's literally, he was a sleeper cell from Texas. That's literally what it was.
He's a clown.
I do not wish him the best. Good
riddance.
Jack
Miller. I do hope Jack Miller, Ryan Watts, Craig Young. I hope wish them nothing but the best.
I do wish them the best. I'm annoyed we're losing Watts. I'm not annoyed that Watts is leaving. I'm not annoyed at Watts. I'm just annoyed that Ohio State, you know, they put out basically, it was a report. I mean, people are saying it's conflicting, but basically, oh, they didn't go after Eli Ricks because they didn't want to lose young guys in the corner room.
I get why, because we probably would have saw more than just Ryan Watts leave.
I get that. But I would have liked to. I would have liked to see them keep Ryan Watts, and that one hurts in my opinion because he was a good player, a real good, lanky corner. I thought he had a lot of upside. I think he had like two interceptions on the season too. So when he was out there, he made plays.
I think Craig Young leaving, knowing the emergence of Court Williams and how he's going to be, and I was hoping Bryson Shaw would have been entering the transfer portal, but.
You're terrible.
I'm sorry.
No, buddy. Bryson Shaw is going to be here. No, he's going to be here 5 years.
I hope Bryson Shaw gets better. I think he's shown some flashes this year, and I hope he has a good Rose Bowl, and I hope he gets better. I don't hope anybody goes in a transfer portal unless they desperately have to.
Shaw is good in my book just because the one play he made against that team up north that – kept us in the game.
He's going to get better.
I feel bad because people just absolutely destroy him. There's good reason. If you watch the film, he gets absolutely bodied a lot out there. But
okay, what about Tommy Eichenberg? He got better.
Like, yeah. All right, they're kids. Like, this is different. They're not using this. This is the thing, though. They're not using Ohio State for NIL money and like development.
Yeah, you're right.
They're here. They're working. I got no problem with them. It's funny. Like, I'm laughing because it's obviously they did not have the greatest of seasons defensively. But I mean, I love them. I really hope they get better.
I do too. And I hope nothing but the best for all the guys but Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, no. And
plain simple.
I mean, people are saying it was Tate Martell all over again. But like I said, Tate Martell at least learned the playbook. Tate Martell at least, I mean, he enrolled, I believe he enrolled early too. Because I remember.
He swung three times and struck out.
He did. Yeah, it's all right, though. You know what, though? He swung. Quinn Ewers got up, literally, he didn't even get up to bat.
No, it was bottom of the ninth. It was bottom of the ninth, and no, it was bottom of the first, and he said, nah.
He's like, I'm out. My shoulder hurts.
His three handoffs will go down in infamy.
Two, and I'm so glad I left it. I remember I left early from the Michigan State game too because I'm like, all right, they're just milking the clock here. Like, I'm heading out, and you're like, no, you gotta stay. They're gonna play Quinn. I'm like, I don't care if they play Quinn or not. And that brings me to the point because we have QB1 CJ Stroud, Heisman finalist, returning, and that's all that matters.
All that matters. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that basically wraps it up. Cass, any final words before I close us?
Everybody, enjoy your week. We'll be recording probably Wednesday night. I have two basketball games this weekend, this Friday, Thursday and Friday. It'll be our Christmas episode where we break down the Rose Bowl, and we'll talk about the Kentucky-Ohio State basketball game and other news. Maybe some transfer guys come in, maybe – anything that happens between now and Wednesday when we record, and then we'll get ready for the Rose Bowl.
I'm excited. I know we're looking at that one tight end in the transfer portal. I know that's
Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's a big target. Would be nice. I mean, I do like our tight ends we got going for the future with Cade Stover and Gee Scott. I mean, I think those two will be more than serviceable, but. Would be nice to get someone in the transfer portal, especially after how we've just gotten absolutely taken to the woodshed the past week by it. But that really does it, I think, for this episode. So, as always, thank you so much for listening to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Make sure, you know, if you have some free time, go to thesilverbulletin.com. Check out all the great articles and, you know, content they're putting out there. We got a lot of great people on the staff that are just working incredibly hard. You know, we name dropped a couple of them, like Gabe.
We name dropped all of them.
Carson, Dave. I think I'm probably forgetting. I'm probably forgetting a couple of them.
Blake.
Grant.
Here we go. Blake, Brandon, Carson, Dave, Grant. Gabe, and Grant.
Yeah, Grant. We can't forget Grant.
Thank you all for bringing us on.
Absolutely. I mean, we're so psyched. But
and whoever Chuck Crew. And whoever Chuck Crew 29 is.
Yeah. It's Tennessee Jeff. No. But as always, thank you.
By the way, this will be the last time we mention Tennessee Jeff since we're going to the Silver Bulletin. We love Tennessee Jeff, and we love all his content, but we can't bring him up anymore.
We'll see about that. But as always, thank you so much for listening to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. And as always, go Bucks.
And have a great night, unless your name is Quinn Ewers and Desmond Howard.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.